Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites for the truth include HagmanReportLive.com. HagmanReportLive.com. That's where you can find the video, the audio, the program descriptions for those challenged. I got to tell you, sometimes I get emails and comments. Well, where are the links? Well, go to HagmanReportLive.com. And hey, I'll tell you what, if there are no links there, it's on me, but otherwise, that's where you're going to find the links to show notes and such. Also, HagmanReport.com, arising like a phoenix from the ashes, because what I want to do is I want to supply everyone with information that I receive, I look at, and sourcing it back to the original source, I suppose, or providing arrows back to the original source material. Now, this is yet another day of the impeachment fiasco, the impeachment circus today was. You know, yesterday, very interesting, as far as I am concerned, yesterday during last night's program, I talked about the witnesses up to the morning session. And then, of course, the afternoon session, I didn't really discuss, all right? Now, today, you saw witnesses being paraded out there, the big bombshell, in air quotes, Ambassador Sondland throwing Rudy Giuliani and President Bush and Vice President Pence really to the wolves, all right? Now, the reason I'm bringing this up kind of out of the gate, as I've said all along, President Trump has served as a disruptor to the status quo of the swamp, the corruption that is Washington, D.C. The objective here, folks, is to rid Washington, D.C., actually rid the United States of President Trump. President Trump merely is standing in the way between this global governance design of communism and the deep state. I mean, folks, it's not about really President Trump, although it is, because many people will tell you he's a guy that people like to hate. It's about us. It's about you and me. It's about the average American. You could be right now, although it's November, you could be right now sitting on your porch in what they term as flyover country, out in the suburbs. And let me tell you something, and this shouldn't surprise you. They don't like us. They think that we are a bunch of rubes. I don't know what term to use, but we are uneducated fools. We are keeping the country down by not being forward thinking, right? That's kind of how they think. They're better than us intellectually, and they're higher. They are operating on a higher spiritual plane. Now, you know, I had the occasion to kind of take a step back and to take a look at this. And if I were to explain this to, let's say, an 18-year-old that has no clue about anything, what would be, you know, where would we start? Well, folks, you've been following this show, or for those of you who have followed this show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big picture kind of guy, and you know that I like to really kind of get into what's the bigger picture here? How are all of these things working to the detriment of you and me, by the deep state, by the permanent bureaucracy, by the deep state elements that exist in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere? And that's what really this is all about. You don't get too much of this discussion anywhere on the news and in the mainstream media, and even within the new media, what I would like to call the alternative news media, a lot of people don't really talk about the bigger picture here. Now, when we talk about the bigger picture, we have to realize, and I hope everyone realizes this, there's a spiritual component here, but it's more than a spiritual component. It is a spiritual driver. What is driving these deep estate members and members of the elite? What is driving them is the worship. These are my words now. And Eric the Texas, well, whose words would they be? But of course, these are my words. But the members of the deep state are worshiping their God, which is not the God of the Bible. They're worshiping Moloch, for example. They're worshiping small g gods. Now, that's what we're dealing with. We are dealing with, if you look at everything that's taking place today, we are dealing with a supernatural element here. But it's more than a supernatural element. It is a supernatural driver. And remember, belief is the driver of action. So, if these, as these deep state members do, they believe in small g god, the pagan gods, the, pretty much that's it. I mean, it's the satanic gods that they believe in. And I pluralize, I use the plural of that god to gods, because there are within the deep state, as there exists within the Christian community, different factions, different, you know, you've got Methodists, you got the Presbyterian, you got this. So think of the deep state in the same fashion, but ultimately, much like Christianity, it's the flip side, the reverse, the mirror image of Christianity. It's the ultimate, the satanic that they worship. Now, I'm very careful with throwing that word around, satanic. And I think that we need to be a little bit more judicious when we use that word satanic. Because many people will use, without thought, satanic as a just a general modifier for everything. One case in point, satanic pedophiles. Okay, well, let me tell you something. Not every pedophile is a satanic ritual abuser. All right? So that's the reality of it. Yet it gets thrown around with extreme recklessness. You have to be very careful, at least in my view. Although the actions are satanic, is the motivation satanic? Now, one might argue, of course, it would have to be given the subject, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the depiction. For example, you could have you could have abuse of a child that takes place that has no satanic component, except the fact the mere action is satanic. I don't know if you follow me on that, but. So we have to be careful when we throw labels out there. And I would argue, too, that if you go back in history, back in 2016, that was a problem with Pizzagate, for example. Pizzagate suddenly took on this, was identified, and became associated with one single business enterprise and essentially one or two people. At the epicenter of this, when in fact it was much bigger. And that's why, even though some people will still mention the word Pizzagate, and by doing so I'm probably going to get sanctioned by YouTube or whatever, but the fact is this. We can say that if you because many people say, well, Pizzagate doesn't exist, and it's a conspiracy theory, it's nonsense. And to some extent, I agree. Only to the extent of debating the definition. Now, I'm setting the ground rules here. I'm setting the stage here for today's broadcast. Because, again, words mean things. Modifying words mean things. And sometimes they are designed to do what? To throw us off the proper investigative trail. Or the proper trail of what? Of learning about what is really taking place, being exposed to what's really taking place. Because how many times, for example, you mentioned Pizzagate people, there are people that say, oh my goodness, you know, what a bunch of hooey. You can't be believed. You're a conspiracy kook. Well, if you have to look at what they, the people who are saying that, believe Pizzagate to be. And that, I would state, I would posit that that is pretty much the same in any subject that we deal with. So we have to be very careful, be very accurate in our statements, or at least as accurate as possible. And we have to be well-researched, and we have to be careful. This, too, we have to be careful with who, about who we listen to. Now, I hope, and I really hope and pray that the listeners and viewers out there, I hope you have an array of people that you listen to, that you watch for your news, as opposed to the mainstream media, that you can trust, that have a proven track record, that are credentialed in terms of their experience. Because, and listeners and viewers know that, okay, I come at this not as a journalist, but as an investigator of 30 some odd years. So I look at things through my lens, the lens as an investigator. And by the way, I'm still active in terms of consultations and looking at the different things, and it's still active too in the pursuit of the human sex trafficking areas. That's one area that really strikes home for me. And in fact, I had a conversation earlier this morning with Russ Dizdar, and you know, folks, I'm friends with Craig Sawyer. And I support Craig Sawyer and Russ Dizdar. And it's interesting mentioning Craig Sawyer. Many people will say, well, didn't he cover up some sex camp in Arizona, related to this, whatever the veterans group was. Well, folks, look, I had documents sent to me, and I looked at the actual police documents and looked at all of the back, investigative elements there. And Craig Sawyer was absolutely correct in his assessment of what was taking place there. And sadly, what people will do, and I'm not really citing this only in that case, but sadly what some people will do is they will hype up something. Even in some cases, manufacture, plant evidence, or show evidence in a manner that is contextually inaccurate. Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, if you look at a piece of evidence in the context of the alleged crime, sometimes that piece of evidence is not what you first thought it was. It reminds me of Pastor Langford saying, you've got to rightly divide the scriptures, meaning that there's an interwoven connectivity within the scriptures. Well, if you take one out of context, what does that do to your message? It's the same thing with a crime scene. And I'm no pastor, preacher, anything like that, but you can see what I'm saying, I think. And from my point of view, I've been to crime scenes, and you look at a piece of evidence, and when you first see the piece of evidence, you think, okay, well, perhaps, maybe this is what it means. And I'll just give you a real quick example. If you walk into, and I'm not trying to be graphic here, but if you walk into a crime scene and see someone hanging from a rope, we'll say in their garage, and deceased, with, the doors are locked and whatever, it would appear to be a suicide, correct? I mean, that's what you would think. And then the crime scene photographs of the victim's remains, and of course the rope and the scene and everything. But each one of those crime scene photographs, as well as the entire crime scene photograph or the photograph of the crime scene, tells a specific story. So while it may appear at first to be, a suicide, when you start looking at each individual pieces of evidence, hey, wait a minute, it was staged to appear that way. Okay, so when you have a case, And I go back to the Craig Sawyer case, because many people say, he really threw some people under the bus. Well, that was because there was a reaction. There was not a proper assessment of evidence. And when there was a proper assessment of evidence, the opposing group, or the group that was involved in this, was, in, at least in my professional assessment, based on all of the, I mean, really hundreds of pages of documentation, photographs, and direct evidence by way of interviews, you realize that, wait, this was not what it appeared to be initially. So I don't know if I confused you, or if I, what I'm just telling you is this: you've got to take the totality of everything and make sure it comports with the various pieces of everything. So you have to take a piece of evidence and make sure you're viewing it in the proper context. And by the way, if you are looking at this second or third hand, make sure you are not, that the evidence itself is not, is number one, is authenticated. Number two, it's genuine, and it's not being hyped up to be something it's not, it never was intended to be. Or, well, you know what I'm talking about. So, that's why I think that while the mainstream media serves as really the mouthpiece of the communist agenda, and they also have that prosecutorial, in my view, the prosecutorial assignment of indicting members of the new media, this platforms like this. It's their job to throw us and to throw us out and say, you know what, we're not legitimate. And they will point to cases, for example, like Pizzagate, saying, see, we told you, you can't trust the new media or the alternative media or whatever you want to call us with the information. That's why we, the mainstream media, the corporate media, that's why we've got to bring you the information, because we can't trust anyone else. Look at what they did with, for example, Pizzagate. Look at what they did, for example, with, crying about or yelling, trying to identify a transient immigrant sex camp or illegal invader sex camp in the desert. So, and that's why you've got to be so discerning when you look at different alternate platforms. I don't know. Maybe that was too long of an explanation, but I think it's important enough to warrant that length. All right. So where are we today? Well, today we find ourselves now, I think 1,030 roughly. I don't know what day it is. You know what? I'll tell you exactly what day it is. It is day number 1,035 of the President Trump's time at the Oval Office. 1,035 days of disruption. And so over the last 1,035 days, and arguably more, what have we seen? We have seen in a complete full court press to take down President Trump, as I started out with. That is their objective. But is President Trump really their objective, and Vice President Pence together? Is that their real objective? What's their real objective? Well, they've got to take them down. Yes, that's an objective, but the objective is to come after us. But in order to do so, they've got to rid Washington of President Trump, of Vice President Pence. They've got to have their own power structure in place as it was designed back in 2016. It was supposed to happen with Hillary. And that's what they need. They need a restoration of that. So how do you get to that point? Everything that we're talking about, all of these programs that we've done, that I've done, has been to get to outline the bigger picture here, because these people, these globalists, these global elite, their objective is to take over, to subjugate, to take over the United States, to make sure the United States is absorbed into this one world power structure. And that power structure will be communism. And once that is accomplished, then anyone, for example, anyone that poses a threat to that power structure, Christians, especially Christians, you've got to get them out. You got to take them out. How about conservatives? You've got political conservatives, constitutionalists, perhaps more accurately. You've got to get rid of them. So that means you've got to get rid of the First and Second Amendments. Well, heck, you got to get rid of the entire Constitution. Well, how do you get rid of the Constitution? Well, you've got to assail the Second Amendment. You got to get the guns out of the hands of you and me. And how do you go about making sure that the true information isn't available to the normal people, the masses, the people in flyover country, like I was talking about? You've got to get rid of the First Amendment or pervert the First Amendment in such a manner that you can't say anything. And you notice how that's happening right now. The social media platforms, if you say the name, for example, of the alleged whistleblower in the impeachment process, and you know who it is, everyone knows who it is, well, then you will get sanctioned on the platform that you're, whether it's YouTube or regardless, wherever it's at, you're going to get spanked and perhaps taken off the air or blocked. So that's really, did you follow that kind of line of thinking? And to that end, and I don't know how many people are aware of this, I want people to be extremely aware of this. YouTube, as one of the platforms, don't forget YouTube/Google, one of the platforms, their terms of service, there are new terms of service being implemented on December 10th of 2019, I'm sorry. Next month, December 10th, new terms of service. What are the new terms of service? Let me just summarize them for you. If we don't like what you're saying, we can nuke your channel, and there's not a thing you can do about it. And you're going to agree to it. And if you don't agree to it, we're going to just take your channel off of YouTube. Okay. That's my version, or that's my explanation of the new terms of service. Now, there are people out there who will say, well, there are other alternatives out there, and they are correct. I'm going to tell you right now, you're correct. Okay, so the only thing I would say to them is, all right, let's look at the population of the United States. Generally, the aging population, the conservatives, we're older people. We are used to cable or satellite television, right? If we want to have television in our homes, generally speaking, people my age or within my age group are going to be looking for, you know, the cable or a satellite provider. So when you speak Fire Stick or streaming TV or whatever it might be, you might get the deer in the headlights look by the person of my particular age group, not understanding the alternatives. So throw YouTube in there as, okay, we're used to it. You know, we know what it is. So that's kind of, so they've got that. We are conditioned. We have been conditioned to go to YouTube, for example, instead of BitChute or Vimeo or other. And I'm using erroneous, perhaps, examples, but you get the idea from this. So they're counting on this lack of knowledge, lack of experience, especially by people in our age group, that we're not going to follow through. Or maybe we just, you know, it's difficult to understand. Hey, I'm old, I'm confused. You know what I'm talking about. But that's why this devastating effect, or this change of service is going to be so devastating to many people, because I guarantee you, subsequent to December 10th, and in advance of the presidential elections, you're going to see a dramatic decrease in the number of Christian/conservative channels on YouTube. And many people in my age group will not be able to get to programs that are not easily accessible or that people in my age group are used to accessing by way of YouTube. One click, there it is. It's simple. I get it. I understand it. I'm not trying to say that we don't have the capacity to understand, you know, other platforms or, you know, how to do things. We do, but, you know, they're counting on us not to really be that smart or that forward thinking. So, and it's the same way with Twitter, because there are alternatives to Twitter. There's one, Gab, for example, and Facebook. Okay, so Lady of the Studio Dog and Theo are in. Hey, come on in, guys. Yeah, they. I think if I do this right, I think Theo, which is Eric the Tech's dog and my daughter's dog, we'll be able to have a sleepover tonight. What do you think, guys? All right. Anyway, but so there are alternatives to these platforms. But the thing is, you know, for example, if President Trump moved from Twitter to Gab, for example, do you think Gab would take off? Much more than what it is. I think so. But at some point, all of us are going to be silenced out there. All of us who have a Christian philosophy, ideology, that is, a Christian belief in true Christianity now, we will be silenced on across all of the social media networks, as well as the search results, which are, Breitbart talked about this yesterday, about the fact that politically conservative stories, links, and whatever are being pressed down in Google searches. And by the way, that brings me to this point. I always say this, Google is not a verb. I say this, Google is not a verb. So when somebody says, well, we'll just Google it. No, you know what? Let's search, not Google. Google is, and it's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy because that makes you think that Google is the only valid search engine out there. You got Start, I mean, so many pages. You got Start page, you got Bing. Some are similar to others, but you can do your own research and find which search pages are more friendly than others. All right. So this is how we're being conditioned. This is how we are being prepped, in my view, prepped for the slaughter. I spent a long time talking with both Coach Dave and Steve Quayle yesterday. Even last night after the show. And I mean, there are a lot of things taking place right now behind the scenes. And Steve Quayle was correct. Identify, vilify, nullify, and destroy. And we are now, I think, past or at the nullification and passing the nullification stage to the destruction stage. And we are going to be forced to do something in order to survive. If we want to survive, we're going to have to do something, aren't we? And it's not going to be from a recliner in your living room, and it's not going to be from a couch. We're going to have to be very proactive. And as uncomfortable as that will be, because right now, you and I, and I think I speak for most of us, aren't we all living to pay the bills, to keep the lights on, to keep the heat on, to pay the house payment, to pay the car payment? This is life. We have to do this, correct? And we have to have our jobs, whatever your job might be, or our businesses, or whatever it is. Now, it's my belief that it will not be until our lifestyles, our jobs, our businesses are threatened, and we are threatened with extinction. You either comply with our rules or you cannot operate your business. We've seen some of this in the run-up to today. We've seen the bakeries, and you've seen now even there's a big thing going on with Chick-fil-A You've seen that. That's not quite doesn't fit in with this discussion, but how they've apparently acquiesced to the LGBTQ plus. So, but looking at this again from an action point of view, we are going to have to decide when we are going to do or when we're going to do what we're going to do. Because the time for talking about it, pretty soon, you won't be able to talk about it. And at some point, we're going to be pushed to the point of action for our very survival. That's where we're at today. And this is why, for example, you know, I got an email yesterday, and I read all emails, I read all postal mail. I believe me, there's nothing that comes, I read everything. Now, I can't respond to everything, but I read everything, and it's voluminous. But I received an email saying, why, if the impeachment process, the impeachment inquisition is such a sideshow, why, for example, are you spending any time on it? Well, number one, it's topical. That does not necessarily mean it's relevant. Or it's in the news, which doesn't necessarily mean it's relevant. Maybe that's a more accurate statement. But, folks, listen to me. The impeachment inquisition, at least in terms of the members of Congress and the deep state denizens inside the Beltway, including the unelected deep staters, the SES members, the members of the deep state, and even those appointed, and even the members around closest to President Trump. This allows us insight into the tactics, and as well as identifying those people who are not friends to President Trump, but equally important, if not more important, not friends to the Constitution, the country, and you and I. Just one example real quick. Alexander Vindman. When you start doing a background check on Alexander Vindman, oh my goodness, a lot of things come up. Now, there is a YouTuber by the name of Amazing Polly that I believe yesterday, day before, I'm not sure, put up a pretty in-depth video of who Alexander Vindman is. Now, the New York Times had a piece on October 29th of this year, Meet Alexander Vindman, the colonel who testified on Trump's phone call. Now, that was in reference to, of course, the basement star chamber testimony. But we saw him live in person, shall we say, on television yesterday. Well, when you start digging into the background of this guy and who he's associated with and who's associated with him, and you start connecting dots as this Amazing Polly did, folks, let me tell you something. We are seeing today members of a cabal, and maybe plural cabals, people who have infiltrated our government, for in my view anyway, for the purposes of taking down our government from within. Now, in my opinion only, when you look at Vindman, for example, he's a perfect candidate as a member of one of these cabals. Does that make sense to you? Which is why we have to start looking at these individuals who are stepping up, whether it's Volcker, whether it's Vindman, it doesn't matter. The people that are sitting in those chairs in that House chamber are individuals, I believe, hand-selected by Adam Schiff, and you have to take a look at Schiff himself. And Schiff has got connections, as you know and I know. He's got connections, some pretty strange connections. Standard Hotel. Need I say more? And yes, I probably do, and that's the subject for another day. And I tweeted out on my own personal Twitter account about about Schiff and his one of his best buddies being arrested for what? For crimes against children, specifically pedophilia. Now, that's not his first friend that went down for that. Now, you see, okay, so I just switched topics there, didn't I? And this, I will say, you're not going to hear this on Hannity or Limbaugh or even Dan Bongino. So as much as I like them all, they're not going to address these issues. These are, man, these are hot third rail issues that if you start talking about this, no one wants to. No one wants, you're not going to get invited on Fox and you're not going to be looked at as anything legitimate. You're a kook. You're a nut. And somewhat rightfully so, as I mentioned earlier, given the broad brush painted by some really sadly ill-informed, misinformed people out there who just want to, I don't know what their intent is, I don't know, but there are a lot of people out there who are really doing the media, the new media, the well-researched, a very, very big disservice. And believe it or not, they've got great following. Numbers, 60, 70, 90,000 people follow them and listen to them. And, but when you start taking apart what they're saying, and it's just amazing that we find ourselves in this position. I don't know. I really don't want to go down that road, but it almost reminds me. It was 41 years ago, and I remember seeing this on television on the news. It was 41 years ago this week, Jonestown. Now, you remember Jonestown, Jim Jones, and that whole thing. We lost a member of the House of Representatives, and he was shot at the airport down there along with his camera crew. And, well, it's 41 years ago this week. It was on the 18th, I believe. And I remember watching that live and thinking, wow, okay, what a bunch of, how could this happen? And how could somebody convince so many people to drink cyanide, for example? And that was the initial news reports. But then when you start taking apart those reports, oh, wait a second. Those initial reports and even subsequent reports, that's not really what happened. No, not at all. And even today, you start looking at the stories. You talk about an intelligence operation, many hallmarks of an intelligence operation. And the only reason I bring that up is because I wondered at that time, how is it possible where people could follow a man, Jim Jones, and a movement, the People's Temple, right? How could they follow him to their deaths? How can someone, if we are to believe the official narrative, hand their child, cups of Kool-Aid laced with cyanide and, and make them drink? And then they themselves drink the cyanide. If you were to go with the original narrative, how is that even possible? Fast forward 41 years, I ask myself the same question. How is it possible for people to go on YouTube and to have channels and to say things that are patently false or that are hopeful, you know what I'm saying? That, in other words, there's an element of hope there that, boy, I hope this is true, that there are things happening behind the scenes. And, but if they're proven to be false, how is it that so many people still believe, even in today, with the ability to search out a matter using the internet at the very least, or get off the internet, go to the library or go to the newspaper archive, go different, whatever, but, or do your own research, yourself in whatever venue, whatever avenue, whatever. How is it possible today that people can still believe misinformation or deliberate misinformation or even maybe some, hey, maybe it's well-intended by some people. I don't know. But how, I know some of the people who follow this information are well-intended. You know, how is it possible for people to believe this stuff even today? There's an element of hope. There's an element that, you know, and there's a lot of things that go into it. But I guess that goes back to what I originally said. You've got to be careful and judicious and very discerning as to who you listen to and who you, I don't want to say follow, because that to me, you know, how many followers you have. I don't have any followers. I don't want people to follow me. You know, it's to me, that's a demeaning, that's demeaning to the people who listen. I just think that that's just a weird thing. I don't know about you, but how many people, you know, how many listeners or how many people is person A or person B impacting by way of their channel? You know, it's something to think about. And if they're pressing or passing a lot of misinformation, deliberately or not, about events, and people are listening to them and, again, believing them, knowing that belief is the driver of action, wow, we could be in a lot of trouble. And this is what I'm seeing with the internet today. And this is why I brought up, for example, I brought up the pedophilia issue, because it's a hot button issue today. But okay, so in the, you know, worshiping of the gods, small g and such, by the deep state. And you may think, wow, well, this is just a whole bunch of words that are coming out of Doug's mouth that are just disconnected. No, they're not. Everything is connected. You've got to be clear-headed today, more clear-headed than ever before. And I really mean that. By the way, since I'm on being clear-headed, and you've got to be as de-stressed as possible, I want to just jump in here and say this. You know, I'm going to be bringing Michael Terrell on from Whole Tones, because I'm going to talk more about frequencies and about the how you and I can benefit from music frequencies. Because if we can help ourselves, man, now is the time to do it. But for all my pet-loving listeners, you're going to love this. You know how much I've raved about Whole Tones frequency-based music to help my wife with her insomnia. We've received a ton of testimonials from listeners telling us how much they've been sleeping better. Often, people have mentioned how it's helped them help their pets, too. It happened with Lady. I've seen it with Theo. Folks, Michael Terrell, the creator of Whole Tones, has a dog. He loves his dog and treats it like family. So it only made sense that he created Whole Tones for pets. And I'd like to think I had something to do with it, right, Michael? Anyway, it's calming, it's soothing music for stressed out pets. The music player comes preloaded with nearly 1 hour of 396 hertz Whole Tones music, the frequency that customers have said works to calm their pets. The music is designed to give relief to your furry companions that are dealing with things like separation anxiety. If you work outside the home, you go to work, you know, I know Lady looking like, what? Where are you going, man? Anyway, being overly stressed or scared from loud noises or what anything else. It can even help with antisocial behavior in cats. Look, I suggest that most cats are antisocial. But anyway, set the player on your countertop, plug it in, and it's going to play automatically. You will notice a positive difference in your pet. If they are at peace, you can be at peace too. I would do just about anything for Lady, the studio dog. I mean, we've got a special relationship. She's just a great companion. I love her. And Whole Tones is part of my promise to her to be the best friend possible. And I'd urge you to do the same. Visit WholeTones4Pets.com. That is WholeTones4Pets.com. Look in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com and use the promo code Hagman to receive free shipping. All right, do that today, okay? All right, a lot of things I wanted to get into today I didn't get into because of this pretty lengthy this lengthy conversation that we're having. But there's one thing that I want to, moving the impeachment stuff aside, look, Sondland today, this Ambassador Sondland, the big takeaway is he came in, dropped several bombs. How would I just summarize this? In my particular assessment, Sondland is acting as the Dirty Harry, the bad Dirty Harry of this whole impeachment process. In other words, he's the one that was tapped to deliver the fatal blows, if you will, against President Trump. But here's, and I've talked about this before. Now Dan Bongino's talked about this before, referenced it. Here's the main issue. How do you get at President Trump? If you can't get to him directly, you get to him through the people closest to him. Who's one of the closest people to President Trump right now, especially in the legal arena? You take out his lawyer. Well, who's his lawyer? How about Rudy Giuliani? So what do? You make it impossible for President Trump to continue a relationship with Rudy Giuliani. Sondland did just that today. So if the takeaway from today is this: the deep state is attempting to dismantle, by their own rules, Adam Schiff, Shifty Schiff, the piece of Schiff, by his own rules, is attempting to dismantle the President Trump presidency, as well as the Trump-Pence ticket for 2020. You talk about election meddling. Here it is right here. You're watching election meddling in 2020. And Schiff, you know, it's amazing. Folks, if you haven't seen any video clips of this or whatever, it's amazing just to watch him sit there like he is a king, like he, I'll just stop there. It's just absolutely amazing. They've changed the rules. They've subjugated the House of Representatives to the whims, the legal and procedural whims of the really communist caucus. And Adam Schiff is leading the coup. So Sondland comes in and drops, you know, throws President Trump and Vice President Pence, as well as Rudy Giuliani, under the bus. Who's going to go first, do you think? It's going to be Giuliani. That was the target all along. And this is how they're planning on it. So rather than get into the impeachment, what I was going to get into today, just know that. And there are other tidbits. And what I'll try to do is there are some notes on HagmanReport.com, but I'm going to try to put additional HagmanReport.com or additional things on HagmanReport.com where you can see for yourself, so you don't have to go looking for the important points. All right. Again, there's stuff there now. Hopefully maybe I can add to it. But anyway, there you've got it. Okay. And as a matter of fact, they might even be up. Some of my show notes from today might even be up. I know Laura's been working on it all day, so I don't know if what she's accomplished. We'll see what happens, but go to HagmanReport.com for that. But the before the closing of the program here, I wanted to play one piece of video. You know John Heller. I met John Heller in Ohio a number of years ago. John Heller has got a church. He's a pastor of a church. He has a prophecy report every week. And I'm going to have him back. I'm going to have him back on this program. But the first few minutes of John Heller's Sunday program, it just struck me as being really relevant to what we're seeing today. It's something I've often said. It's something that all of us we must experience and we must handle. And that is, how do you triage the events of the day? Well, Eric the Tech, if you don't mind, if you can play the first segment from John Heller on this past Sunday. I think folks, have a listen to this or have a view of this as well.
Yeah, there really was a lot of things that happened this week that I think do play into the prophetic, Bible, biblical prophecy, end times scenario that's going to unfold, that is unfolding in front of our eyes. I usually, on Saturday, with the way things happen during the course of the week, I get these emails from people about, so what's today? Is it going to be 3 hours today? Because there were a lot going on. And so I try to take what I think are the major themes of all these things that seem to be converging as we get closer and closer to the end. And boy, is this one cover from Foreign Policy 5 or 6 years ago now, World Disrupted, seemed to be more and more true each week. So I'm going to cover some things that are going on, put some of them in context of Scripture. And sometimes I don't always refer to the Scripture because I assume that you know, I just assume that, you know, the people here that listen every week have some sort of basic frameworks to go from. So I will make reference to a couple specific Scriptures today.
Okay. Now, that was just a brief, I don't know, this was like a minute, 20 seconds of his start. And the reason I selected that is we are all faced with two issues: triaging the news, the information that comes at us at warp lightning speed like never before, thanks, of course, to 24/7 news channels as well as the internet, but also the other part of this. As Christians, are we not supposed to, should we not be looking at prophecy? Should we not be looking at prophecy? How prophecy fits into this? And again, look, Rush Limbaugh's not going to talk about this. Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, others on Fox, Dan Bongino, nor really would you expect them to. They keep to the secular, out of the larger picture prophetic, shall we say. So I don't blame them. I'm not saying that, you know, shame on them for not doing this. They have their niche, but I'm looking at this. At this point, there is no way we can separate current events, in my view, from biblical prophecy. If there was ever a time in our lives, in the history of the world, now is this dramatic intersection between biblical prophecy and current events. Now, if I can fit this in, there's another audio clip or video clip. And folks, go ahead and play this second clip. And that kind of tells you about the fitting of prophecy into current events.
If you study Bible prophecy and you read a lot of different authors, one of the things you find is that everybody has an opinion. And everybody's pretty sure that their opinion is right. And I will confess to you that I believe it is very, very, it can be very confusing to people because there's all these different voices out there chattering about how they think it's going to unfold. And I have my views, but I try not to be too dogmatic about them because I think that things are going to happen so quickly in the end times that you need to be able to adapt. You know, I always say keep your charts in an editable format because you may have to change them as things unfold. And I think we see that happening. I mean, I cannot begin to tell you the number of times I have a conversation with a Bible prophecy conference speaker or an author, and it almost always comes up now. I can't believe I'm seeing what I'm seeing. And I just didn't expect it that way. So people have written about this for a long time.
All right. Now, I've had the pleasure of spending time with John Heller, and I'll tell you what, he's an intelligent guy. He's an attorney by profession, but he's a pastor as well. And he's that clip right there, it's, you know, number one, fitting the end times or fitting the events into the end times through the Scripture, rightly dividing the Scripture, of course. But did you notice how he said, you know, it's sometimes it's I don't want to say a matter of perception, but you've got to kind of watch, don't you? You've got to watch because if you think if you are being so dogmatic in one sense, one way, and something doesn't fit, you've got to take a different look at it. You got to take a new look at it. And that's what he's saying there. You keep your charts in editable form. And I think that that's sage advice. That's wise advice. Because sometimes, and I can only relate this to my experience, because the only thing I know how to do really well is being an investigator. All right, sometimes when you start out with a certain specific idea of motive or something, some driver, you know, that something that's driving your investigation, for example, when you start off that way, sometimes doesn't quite end up that way. So you've got to be at least mentally pliable, or at least mentally open to other potential situations or explanations. And that's what he's saying. Let's not look at the end times with such a dogmatic approach that we're actually shutting off and closing off other possibilities. So when we see an event take place, and you know, from that audio or that video clip, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I got a half a dozen roughly important pieces. But what I'll do is I'll put the link to that Sunday, this past Sunday's sermon or report in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. I would urge everyone to watch and listen to it, because there's one section in there specifically. And from my notes here, I think it was, now, I don't know. Sometime, let me see here. Hang on. I want to give you the time notation. About 17 minutes in, he starts talking about the LGBTQ agenda. Now, the reason I mention that now, out of all the things I could possibly mention that's contained in that report, what we're seeing with the LGBTQ plus agenda is one of the multi, it's like a Swiss Army knife of the deep state. How's that for it's like a Swiss Army knife of the deep state. It advances the communist platform to destroy marriage. It perverts the moral fabric of a country. It assails traditional marriage. It brainwashes children, your children. I mean, there's an incredible, again, it's a Swiss Army knife of the deep state. It also is the process of legitimizing what I started talking about earlier, was this assault on children. Ritual abuse against children, which is related to human trafficking, which happens to be related to the border that's open. Yes. Which happens to be related to the drug trade. Oh, yes. Which happens to be related to the worship of Moloch. Yes. You might say, well, how do you go from LGBTQ to there? Well, it's not exactly a straight line. I can tell you that. It's a multi-level flow chart. Folks, that's all the time I've got for today. Old school radio feed. I hope you got something out of today. I pray that you did tomorrow. Steve Quayle and Tom Horn. You're going to want to tune into that, because tomorrow night, Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, talking about Wormwood. Go to HagmanReport.com. The program description is there. I want to thank each and every one of you for being a supporter of the Hagman Report. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Eric the Tech wants to thank you. I know Lady and Theo, they're just super excited about it as well. But folks, please pray for our country, pray for our president, and pray for the future. May God bless.